train pulls into the station. Jesus on the cross, raising the roof. Binoculars regular, binoculars silly. Cabbage patch and a stab. Hari, Hari, shimmy to the right while you wonder if the oven's on. Take your wedding ring off. You are divorced. Bugs Bunny dressing up as a lady. You've got a wide-brimmed hat.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, March 30th. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-yo! We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Please like and comment, subscribe, share the show with your friends. TK and I planning on going live a little later tonight for a new Top Shot Hot Boys. Maybe rip a pack, maybe do a fun top 10 list when it comes to Top Shot. Maybe talk about Michael Jordan.
Oh! Michael Jordan and Will Smith? Top Shot is back?
Oh my goodness.
I didn't know it had to come back already, but it feels like it is.
I agree. So that's later tonight. So make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube so you know when we're going live. Email us your questions and your comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. Hitting the beach tomorrow on Wednesday. So email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, or tweet them in at No Dunks Inc., or leave them in the YouTube comments if you're crazy like that. And finally, immaculate items available for sale over at nodunks.com. Yes. Go get your t-shirts and your hoodies and your coffee mugs and everything. And then once you buy one, tag us at No Dunks Inc. on Instagram or Twitter, and we will share it with the world to see it. We got to update that little scroll we've got there, JD, because we got the Big Beef shirts.
Big Beef.
And we got the Top Shot Hot Boys shirts. Anyway, go check out nodunks.com. Okay, guys. We have some up-down fun later, the up-down report, but we had a bunch of games on. We won't get to all of them, so don't freak out, but the first one we're starting with, and we'll just do our big takeaways. Applesauce, baby, Westbrook records a historic triple-double as the Wizards beat the Pacers last night. Trey, crazy stat line from Westbrook in this one. In a victory, too. He took over late. What's your takeaway?
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. The Wizards got the Pacers to play their pace, and Indy couldn't keep up. They got lapped. Oh, no Beal for the Wizards. Mm-hmm. So we got vintage MVP Russell Westbrook, 35 points. You mentioned it, Skeets, 21 assists. Saucing them last night, serving up those Fuji apples, plus 14 rebounds for Russell Westbrook. That's his 16th triple-double of the season. Already a record for the Washington Wizards all time? What were you doing, Wes Unseld? Where's your triple-doubles? Anyways, Westbrook was money down the stretch as well. He was balling hard all night, so the confidence was at 100% in the last 5 minutes. He got a couple of layups, hit a couple of three-pointers. It honestly looked like the MVP season for Westbrook out there, and an incredible win for the Wizards, who, since the Eastern Conference is very jammed together and none of these teams who are in basically 5 through 10 are able to string together any wins. I said it was crazy that the Wizards were the Cinderella team that somebody picked while I was gone. Maybe it's not. They look all right now. And, you know, as has been the case with Westbrook, it feels like as soon as you tailor your style to him and he kind of gets a little bit of chemistry alongside the team, same as what happened with Houston last year, the numbers, the efficiency, it all sort of seems to rise. It's just, you got to play Westbrook's game. Last night, the Wizards did it. He looked great.
Yeah, I had that Wizards as my crazy Cinderella team. Yeah, this idea that they could even get into the play-in tournament. And they're right there. They're like two games back or something like that. So it is possible. I saw Fred Katz on the Boulevard. He tweeted this morning that the Wizards have the easiest remaining strength of schedule in the NBA, too. That was coming by way of Tankathon. So this is in play here, Lele, and it's wild. And yeah, that Westbrook stat, you know, not only just the Woe Boy, that's going to be in the running for Woe Boy of the Year, just the pure numbers there. But Trey said it. It took Westbrook 38 games, 38 games to take the Wizards franchise lead in triple doubles. Now, I don't know what that says about Westbrook or the Wizards franchise, but that is unreal, that stat. And yeah, he's putting up a 30-10-20 in a victory. Again, they sort of needed all of this to beat the Pacers. Yeah. It was a close game until the Wizards took over late. But what do you think?
Yeah, well, they're still 11 games below 500, but that doesn't really matter. Last night, it was just a classic Westbrook game because he wasn't really stat stuffing either. He was just, you know, without Bradley Beal, he had to do more. And they needed every single one of those possessions and those stats to get over the line against the tough Indiana team. And he hit the threes late. He's talking trash to the bench. I mean, it's just incredible that this guy can sometimes really cost his team games by trying to do too much. Whereas last night, he couldn't do enough. You know, he was just playing such great basketball and starting the transition. And, you know, he just seemed to play better. I mean, without having Beal there, he just knew that he was the man. He was going to have to do everything. And he really relished that opportunity. And hit those threes late. We know sometimes with Westbrook, those are exactly the sort of shots that cost his team games. Mm-hmm. But they didn't last night. They won. So it was a fun Westbrook experience last night. And I mean, to have the Wizards record already is weird. I mean, I guess. maybe it's not so weird because, you know, it's really been in the last 5 or 6 years where the triple doubles have just become so prominent, especially for Russell Westbrook. Yeah. So maybe it's not that big a deal, but fun, just fun to watch.
Fun.
Which is not always the case with the Wizards this season, and even with Westbrook at times, he's frustrating. He drives you crazy because it's like, I wonder why he can't be more consistent with that sort of play. You know, will he even play tonight? He's in a back to back. He hasn't been playing except for when he played against the Rockets in a back to back this season. So maybe he will, maybe he won't, but. It's hard to not watch a game like that and just think, man, this guy is going to the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt in my mind he's going to the Hall of Fame. But he's also one of the most frustrating players we've seen in the last few years because it's, you know, he can put up these stat lines and his team can lose. But last night it was like one of the most dominant single game performances by anyone. I mean, you talk about Wild Boy of the Year. What about Wild Boy of all time? Maybe.
Nah,
I mean,
let's not go overboard.
Wow.
It's got to be up there, though. Westbrook himself has some of these type games dating back again to the MVP season. Yeah, it's an unbelievable lie when you see it. I mean, he fills the box score. He even had a couple you know, steals in there, threw a block in as well, hit some threes.
Yeah,
he's not great at the line. I think he was, maybe 3 of 5 off the top of my head. But yeah, hell of a game from him. And I can't believe they're in a play-in race here. It's amazing to me. You're right. 11 games back of 500, but there's so many teams bunched up there. And we'll get to
Bulls and
the
Raptors
second.
Are just ahead of them, too.
Oh,
so,
Jesus. Yeah. And both of those teams dropping brutal losses last night. So anyway, third 30-10-20 game ever recorded, apparently. The first since Magic back in 88, I saw. I think the NBA was tweeting it. So applesauce is what we're calling 20-plus assists. I like you have the prop there, Trey. There have been a lot of like other suggestions for it, but for some reason it's so stupid, I like it.
My hands are mixed up here. The AS for the assist, the applesauce, especially if the assists are like particularly fancy, you know, they're saucy. It took us about a year to actually crack the code on what rebound highlights would look like. So please send us your suggestions, Twitter, email, YouTube, Instagram, whatever it is. How are we going to make these into highlights? Because when you make applesauce, all you do is like grind up the apples and, you know, it becomes a sauce. I think we're going to have to put a little bit more effort into this one. So let us know what it should be. Assist highlights, they're a little tastier than rebound highlights to begin with. So, I don't know. Maybe we need a little less seasoning. I don't know. Let us know.
Okay. I was going to say, did you contemplate last night when we saw this line come through? Like, did you think about, maybe I will hit the old, editing machine
hit
fire.
The sauce?
Yeah, hit the sauce and put these together? Like, or did it not even cross your mind like it does with the Big Beef?
Oh, 100% it crossed my mind. Okay. I was watching the end of this game. I saw Westbrook get his 20th assist, and I asked Laura immediately, do we have applesauce in the house? She's like, yeah. I mean, it's one of our kids' favorite foods, eating applesauce nonstop. So I knew we had it around, but I didn't have it in me to figure out what it's actually going to be.
Okay. I think Drew Gooden called it the Barbara Walters.
He did. He had a 20-20 at that point or something like that, which is really great. Good stuff there from Drew Gooden. I like that. He had like something like, I want to say it was like 19 assists with like 9 minutes to go.
Yeah.
And like a small part of you is like, is he going to beat Scott Skiles' record here, which is 30 assists in a game, which is still like mind-blowing? But it's like, that's in play with that much time left in a close game, and maybe even goes to overtime or something like that. You know, obviously it it petered out a little bit, his racking up those assists, but he was starting to score a bit more. But yeah, crazy stuff there from Westbrook. All right, let's keep it going here. The next game is the Heat snapping a 6-game losing streak with the 98-88 win over the Knicks. Not a whole lot to say about this one. Lost in the shuffle on Monday's show, though, Lee, was the Knicks losing Mitchell Robinson. Sounds like for the year. With a broken foot, right? He had a broken hand, had come back, played a little bit, and now out with the broken foot. Maybe you saw that clip, too, of basically Mike Breen breaking the news to Derrick Rose after the game prior, not last night's game, but telling him, like, oh, yeah, Mitchell Robinson's probably out for the year with a broken foot. And, like, Rose was, like, super emotional and, like, pretty shook up. But anyway, the Heat got a much-needed win. I thought Bam played really good. Someone, I forget who it was it Trey or you, Lee, that was saying, you know, it would be nice, a Knicks-Heat first-round series. Take us back to the 90s. Well, here's a little prelude of it. You know, both teams under 100 points. It was ugly in the first half. Man, it was really low scoring. I was watching a lot of this one. So, I don't know, are you still on board with that? I can't remember which one of you said that. But, yeah, it was ugly, but the Heat got a much-needed win.
I would like to see a first-round series. I think these two teams are quite good. I think the Heat are better than their record is right now. Bam almost got himself some big beef last night, only a couple of rebounds short there. But the Heat just needed this victory and didn't start off all that well, but they grinded it out, which is a classic way of the Heat getting those wins. Just to get back on track is make it ugly, make it a bit dirty and grimy there, and they got it done. So, yeah, this one, especially when you see following on from the Westbrook game, this one wasn't fun. You know, it just felt sort of, you know, dirty. Like, you're just sort of watching it and you're just like, it's not, there was no flow to it. That's what I'm saying. No, you know, like Westbrook was in his rhythm, was in his groove. This one was more just like the Heat of light. We're not losing 7 in a row. We're going to get this win. You might not enjoy it, but this is how it's going to be. So, but the big news is, of course, Mitchell Robinson. I think he's a big loss for the Knicks. I think he can be a fantastic player at both ends. But they've missed him for, you know, I think pretty much most of the season. And now he's out, you know, for a lot. But the good news is, you know, if he can come back next season, I think the Knicks have a real important piece of their team and can really impact the game at both ends.
Nerlens Noel has played actually pretty damn good this year, you know, getting a lot of those minutes because Mitchell Robinson has been out with the injury. But Jimmy Butler, he sort of took over this one too. I thought was pretty cool. I don't know how much you saw this one, Trey. And they got some contributions, like some of their shooters started hitting some shots too, and their Duncan Robinson and their hero. But it's like just Jimmy was like, no, we got to get a victory here. And you're just like, it's always nice to be like Westbrook. It's nice to be reminded that Jimmy Butler on any given night looks like he can be like one of the best players in the league when he does that little takeover Jimmy Butler thing when he works hard and he beats the man, right?
That's right. 19 points in the second half for Butler, 4 threes for Tyler Hero, 4 threes for Duncan Robinson. And that's kind of the special sauce for the Miami Heat. You need Jimmy to play well and you need your shooters to shoot well, which is pretty weird because you look at the full stats for the game. That's 8 threes from Robinson and Tyler Hero. The Heat only went 10 of 34 from 3-point line last night, but that was enough against the Knicks. That's kind of what it feels like with the Heat, is that for this whole season, it's going to be just enough offense if they're going to be able to make a run at a top 4 seed here, which I think is still certainly possible. You know, the Heat shot the ball really well down the stretch last year, and obviously in the bubble, they were unconscious. So we'll see. They've got shooters there, and they've got a guy in Jimmy who can find it. They just need Goran Dragic to come along a little bit further and really put that pressure on the rim. He is an X factor to me for this team.
Our next game here, Steph Curry, he returned from the tailbone injury and all his butt jokes that he had been making. 32 points, had some beautiful highlights as the Warriors, unfortunately, Trey, beat your Bulls 116-102. This one did have a nice flow to it at times, though. It was a back-and-forth affair, but what's your takeaway?
Well, Skeets, bad news.
Yeah.
The Bulls are not back.
Oh, God. Well, maybe the funny part is the Bulls are back. The Bulls are back to being the bad Bulls.
That's not the Bulls.
Oh,
that's
sorry.
That's the bad Bulls.
Oh, sorry.
So yes, the bad Bulls are back.
Yeah.
Dub Bulls are not back. I told Laura going into this one, if the Bulls lose this, I don't think they're going to be back anymore. And unfortunately for Chicago, Steph Curry came back from his tailbone injury and honestly torched Chicago. 32 for Steph, 6 threes. And he pretty much won this game by himself in the third quarter, scored 14 straight. And I was incensed about this because both Zach LaVine and Nick Vucevic were off the court while Curry was catching fire. You finally got two All-Stars. We've got an MVP going off. And and the All-Stars were just sitting there watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not cool to me. So the Bulls now have lost 6 of 7. They're 3-8 since the All-Star break. They're on a 4-game losing streak. And in those 4 games, the Bulls are shooting 28 for 112 from 3-point.
Wow.
That's 25%. The Bulls play 0 defense. So the margin of error, it's too slim for those kind of nights. Every single night, and last night was a microcosm. 6 of 24 from 3. There's that 25% number right there. And 19 turnovers. You're not going to beat good teams if you can't shoot and you turn the ball over all the time. If you're looking for a silver lining, here it is. The offense looked better in game 2
yeah.
with Vooch. Some new post-up wrinkles, a couple of nice two-man game moments between him and LaVine. And the other good part is that the rest of the East can't win either. The Raptors, Pacers, Celtics, Knicks, and Raptors all lost on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. The Bulls are going to have to actually win a game on this road trip. You can't come back until you've been away. But you can't just count on everybody losing the entire time. I mean, it's not a shame to lose to Steph Curry and the Warriors when they're on fire. But when your offense is not able to play offense and you're an offense-only team, that's a disaster.
Yeah, that's well put.
Where's that win going to come from on this road trip too, TK? They're in Phoenix, then Utah, and then they go home to play Brooklyn.
Jeez. Well, they beat the Suns in the 1993 finals. They beat the Jazz in the 1997 and 1998 finals. So I'm seeing 2 wins right there, Lee.
Okay. Well, listen, things happen in the NBA. Any team on any night can beat any other team. We know that. But after those three, you go back out on the road, but you got the Pacers, the Raptors, the Hawks, the Wolves. So,
All right. I
don't see a win in the next 3 games for the Bulls. But after that, Perhaps one or two. But as you mentioned there, the other teams sort of in that bunch are not really making it harder for Chicago. They're almost kind of keeping the Bulls alive in it. And that's really what's going to have to be, because the Bulls are really facing an uphill battle in these next few games here. But, the Warriors are a bit of a funny team as well. They've sort of had their moments, but obviously Steph just makes such a huge difference. And he said he's not fully recovered from that butt injury.
Yeah, he had another tumble last night.
Yeah, yeah. But I think obviously the Warriors, maybe they rushed him back a little just because they needed to get back on the board with a couple of wins here. So, you do that when you're the Warriors, because they're not trying to tank this season at all. They want to get into the playoffs and do some damage if they can. And they saw the Bulls in town and took advantage last night.
I think it's crazy, too, that Curry is averaging 29 points per game, 5 boards, 6 assists. His shooting numbers are Curry-like, 48 from the floor, 41 from three, 93 at the line, whatever the heck it is. And here's a guy that's like, he's not even at the table, Lee. He really is not at the MVP table conversation. That's how great this league is right now. We have, I don't know. He's maybe in the restaurant, but he's not at the table. He just isn't. And that, but this is not knocking Steph Curry. I'm just saying, my God, what a league, and the talent in this league, where Curry, a 2-time MVP, is like not even there. He's like, he's not even in the picture there. He's not even behind Lee's white turtleneck. Giannis, crazy.
Look, Giannis is a 2-time MVP. He wasn't at the table. I think he's pulled up a chair right now. So maybe there's time here for Steph. I think he's left his run a little bit too late. But
It's possible. Dale brings up a good point. Curry is the chef. He's making the pizza.
He's making the dinner. Okay. Yeah, I like really that. I
very,
like
very
that.
Smart there, Dale. But yeah, he was special. And Bulls, man, you got to switch up the defense a little bit. Giving him a little too much room to operate after the high pick. Like, holy crap, Lowry marketing. Multiple times, you gotta get a little higher up there on the pick action. Put some pressure on him, Jesus! But
yeah, we need Lowry to lock down Steph Curry out there on the perimeter. I mean,
I get it, but
that's the thing
higher.
Is like, you're not stopping Steph Curry. No. You gotta play offense. Yeah. If this team is gonna win games by outscoring opponents, and when you turn the ball over nearly 20 times and miss most of your 3-pointers. It doesn't add up. It just literally doesn't add up. You're not getting enough possessions, and you're not getting enough makes. Other than that, look good.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next game, Zion Williamson scores 28. Ingram hits some clutch shots late. Pelicans beat Boston, 115-109. Celtics fans were back in the house, Lee, and they were booing the Celtics. God, it's good to have NBA fans back in these arenas. But what'd you think?
Well, a couple of little mini storylines out of this one. Evan Fournier made his debut for the Celtics, went 0 for 10. In 33 minutes, not great. Luke Kornet, another couple of threes for the big man.
Buddy.
Yeah, he hit a couple. No Jaylen Brown here for the Celtics. And the Celtics, this one looked like it was going to be a mini blowout. with about 4 minutes to go. They're down 16. Then they went on a big 13-0 run, got themselves back into it before, as you mentioned, Brandon Ingram hit a step back that basically put the game out of reach. But the big story, another incredible performance from Zion Williamson, particularly in the third end of the third into the fourth quarter, just going inside the paint, just catching bodies left and right. I think Zilla said this morning, Zion had 11 field goals, no dunks, but every basket basically a layup or, you know, as good as a dunk without actually jamming on guys. And it's, you know, the finishing and the touch around the rim is great, but it's that handle that he's got, which continues to impress me. Like, at times when defenders are there, he puts it behind his back, he gets inside, and he, you know, can pick the ball up cleanly and go up to the rim. And I think that's what just makes him so difficult to match up on, because he's on the perimeter at times, and then before you know it, he's at the rim. And that's just something for a guy of his size, you know, of his bulk, that I think is going to be really tough as he, you know, matures even more and just becomes like a bull. Because there's a couple of times there, you see guys and there, you know, two or three guys around him and they really can't do anything to stop him, and he can elevate and get up there and score. So a good win here for the Pelicans. They nearly blew it. Notorious Celtics killer Eric Bledsoe hit a couple of threes late, like he's always done in Boston before, which really was important in the end for the Pelicans. But yeah, Stan Van Gundy, I mean, Shaq used to call him the master of panic because he claimed that he didn't know how to close out games. And we've seen a couple of times this season, the Pelicans have had good leads and kind of blown it at the end. They hung on to this one. They managed to get the win, but not convincing. I mean, remember in Portland only a couple of weeks ago when they were up 17 with only a few minutes to go and they lost that one. That was, of course, Damian Lillard going crazy for the 50 points. But that's the one concern I have for the Pelicans. I think, you know, they've got so many nice little pieces. Kira Lewis was very good last night. Josh Hart had another almost beef as well. He had 15 rebounds. Yeah. You know, they've got the right pieces in place. You know, now it's just a matter of, can these guys gel, get together, and actually become a real threat in the Western Conference? They're not that team yet, but I think they've got the Dave Griffin's got some nice pieces together. It's just now how they fit with each other going forward.
Yeah, Brian Scalabrine was loving Zion Williamson highlights last night. He was going crazy, fawning over him. There was a moment, a small stretch in this game. It was like, I'm talking like a 90-second stretch where I was like, oh my God, is Luke Kornet the Zion Williamson stopper? He was like giving him some trouble, like how to, you know, Zion was just missing a couple inside, the length was getting to him, and then, no, it turned out that not to be the case. It was just Zion missing. There was like, you said two or three guys, there was one play leave, there was four Celtics, I swear to God, that basically bounced off of Zion.
Yeah.
And Zion, I think he missed that shot, but it was like unreal. That there was that many bodies around him, but he still powered up through all of them and had a good look, and it just rimmed out. But
Brian Scalabrine is making Celtics fans forget about Tommy Heinsohn on the call there too. Just a couple of times, just like, oh, that is brutal. What is that call? He was right on one of them, but he was completely wrong on another one. But that was classic Tommy Heinsohn as well. Just like those Celtics blinders he had on, and that was all he saw. So, but Scal's good. I like the energy he brings to their broadcast. He's a fun guy.
The worst non-call of last night, I think, happened in the women's game, did it not? In the, was it Baylor-UConn? Did you guys see that? Oh, my goodness. Go look it up. In a crazy game, I was sort of following it generally on Twitter, and then I saw the highlights. I don't know the woman's name, but she got hit. She got hit in the face on
I know what you're talking about.
Unreal. Anyway, Zion, 28. And I think Griff took to Twitter last night, too, pumping up his boy, Brandon Ingram, saying, you know, whoa, where are all you guys saying he can't close games? Look at this, because he hit two shots, actually, in this one. Also, Shaqt in a fool, a whoopsie of the year candidate in Marcus Smart. Did you see this one, Lee, the jump ball, where he thought... Go ahead.
Well, he only had 0.3 of a second, though, on the clock.
Well...
Wasn't it?
Yeah, but was that the case? I'm not 100% sure. He chucked
it up. Because I saw it going around, and as far as I knew, it was like he couldn't really do much more than just sort of, you know, kind of palm it towards the hoop. I thought that's what it was.
But... Slapping it up there. Yeah. Well, it's up on House of Highlights if you want to go see it, and they're labeling it a Shaqt in there. I thought maybe there was a misunderstanding with the clock itself and whether or not they were going to get more time.
I'll go and check it, but I thought it was that was all it was. There was not enough time for him to do much more.
Back to that Warriors game too. Draymond Green hitting the Curry 3 from the logo. That was pretty crazy. All right.
Logo Green, Steph called him after the game. Wow. Wonder if it'll catch on.
People are saying it was 0.3 seconds left for the Pelicans.
Yeah, okay, see, that's what I thought.
Okay. That makes sense.
Everybody on the Celtics was looking at him like, what the hell are you doing, man?
Right.
He just had a brain fart there. All right, the other games, I'll list, seven other games here. The Nets held on to beat the Wolves. A couple of rookies led the Pistons over the Raptors, 118-104. I'm so close to posting the in memoriam photo of us where we're singing a sad song. Matty O's on the guitar, putting a dying rose for the Raptors season. I mean, I know they're still in the race for the play-in, but it's getting very, very depressing when like Hamidou Diallo and two rookies on the Pistons are basically kicking your ass. It's bad.
Save it for April 8th. We got the Bulls versus the Raptors.
Oh my God.
That might be a game versus the 13 and 14 seed at this point.
Get into the play-in tournament.
Good boy. Yeah.
Yeah. What are Undertaker matches called? Like a casket match. That's what it is.
All right. I love it.
Buried, a casket done, match. Season's over. Okay. Valanciunas had a season high. Season best, 30 points. Season high, season best, same thing. As the Grizz beat the Rockets again. You see John Morant's dunk at the buzzer? Oh my God. Goes between the legs. Get him in the dunk contest, man. The Mavericks rolled past the Thunder, 127-106. Fox and the 4Hs led the Kings to their fifth straight victory. They defeated the Spurs, 132-115. Clippers hit 19 threes to beat the Bucks, 129-105 for their sixth win in a row. And finally, the Jazz also won their sixth game in a row, 114-75 over the Cavs. So three teams there on some winning streaks, Lee, in the Kings and the Clippers and the Jazz. I thought Kurt Hellen of NBC Sports was right on with the Clippers game. He says the Clippers beat the Bucks Monday night in the "we don't care what you do in the regular season, let's see it in the playoffs" showdown. Not wrong with both those teams, Milwaukee and LA, but LAC getting some help from their other guys is huge. Mm. Like Morris, Luke Kennard is coming around here, but we thought he could maybe give them. You know, Jackson had a good one, Terrence Mann. Contributions there with like sometimes Kawhi not in the lineup, sometimes Paul George like last night in the lineup. So Clips playing, you know, sort of quietly well. None of it really matters, but here they are.
Yeah. Paul George, a late scratch for this one too. So Luke Kennard did come into that starting lineup and had another pretty good, effective scoring game. 21 points, 5 of 6 from downtown, 8 of 11 in total shooting from the floor. So, we know that when they signed him in the offseason, they were hoping for this from him. We hadn't really seen it. We've seen now a couple of little flashes of it. So that's good for Ty Lue to have a little bit of depth there. Yeah, not really much else to say. It was a fairly close game, this one, but then the Clippers just pulled away late. The Bucks got off to a great start, but the Clippers sort of seemed to drop the hammer there when it really counted. And, not much more regularly to say about that one.
What? What did you
say on that one?
No, I rewatched this one this morning, and it was a good first half, but then the Clippers kind of put the foot down there in the fourth quarter. It wasn't really so much the third quarter; it was more the fourth. So the Bucks not missing anybody, a little disappointing that they got blown out quite so easily in the end. Mm-hmm. But I guess it was a little bit of the revenge factor as well, because these two teams had a pretty close game in Milwaukee. I don't know when that was, a month ago, 2 months ago. I remember it was a Sunday afternoon tilt, and the Bucks kind of just stretched it at the end. So maybe there was a bit of that, but good performance from the Clippers. And that six-game win streak, one of the quieter win streaks we've had, certainly for a good team.
Yeah,
I mean, the Kings.
No one cares at all.
Exactly. But that's great for the Clippers. Mentioned this earlier in the season. This is what you want. You just don't want any attention. Let the Jazz have their 40-point win last night. You expect that against the Cavs. Clippers, just win these games. Be quiet about what you're doing.
I think it's good too that it's not they're winning all these games because of Kawhi going for 40 or Paul George hitting 8 threes. It's they're getting contributions from all of these other guys that are going to have to help in a playoff series. So that is really, really good. As for the Jazz, I just wanted to point out about their winning streak, because it's sort of like no one cares at this point too. We know they're a good team. Then they had a little cold spell, but now they're winning all these games again. Since the All-Star game, Donovan Mitchell is averaging 29.2 points per game, 50% shooting, 46 from three. I mean, he only played 25 minutes last night, but filled up the box score in a dominant win. And Rudy Gobert is playing just as well, maybe, since the All-Star break. 18 and 17, he was flirting with the big beef. 2 steals, 4 blocks. I think he's sort of starting to run away with Defensive Player of the Year. Maybe a lot of people probably already had him running away with it. But the Jazz have built a 3.5-game lead for first place in the West standings for the number one seed. That's pretty big because they're 35-11. There's only 26 games to go, if my math is right. I mean, you know, it's starting to get... It's by no means like the Suns, the Clippers, the Lakers, they could still in theory catch them, but I think it's becoming less and less likely, not only with the way the Jazz are playing, but you know, some of those teams like the Lakers had a spell there and stuff like that falling off a little bit because of injuries. But yeah, I think the Jazz are going to be our number one seed is what I'm getting at here, Trey. And you know, that's great. They want that, of course, as we've talked about. Again, depends where the Lakers and Clippers fall, but they would be loving only having to play one of them in a potential, you know, path to the finals, right?
No doubt about it. They've got an 11-game win streak this season and I think a 9-game win streak, and now they're working on a 6. Who knows how high up that's going to get? It looks like they're going to be the number one overall seed, and let's see if that makes a difference for the Jazz, being able to play at a home court that actually seems to have a little bit of a home court advantage. You know, they're at altitude. I think they have the most fans in the stands of any NBA team, which is a choice to make, but also something that could play out in the playoffs, right? That could actually matter, having a lot of fans in the stands there to be cheering for the Jazz. So, yeah, I mean, conditions are perfect for the Jazz to make a run at the very least at the Western Conference Finals, if not the NBA Finals.
Fox was named Player of the Week, Lee. We were talking about that yesterday. Yeah. And, you know, he had another solid game. Homestead had a good game in the Kings' victory over the Spurs. They have a second one against them coming up here. But, yeah, Mitchell and Fox, I think they're both of those guys are going to be right there for Player of the Month honors in the Western Conference, at least. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, well, I mean, they've won 5 in a row, and there's still 3 games below 500 here.
It's okay. Here they come.
You know, that's the thing. They've done this to us before where they've looked good, and you think, you know, and beating the Spurs is a very good victory, like a convincing victory. So that's great. But what will happen now with the Kings? Will they just go on one of those 4-game losing streak stinkers that you just go, nah, why did I even invest any sort of hope into this team? But yeah, De'Aaron Fox, he's a really good player. He can be a really, really...
That's the insight I'm looking for.
No, I mean, like, because it's so hard to judge him on the Kings team because they haven't had any success with him there yet. But when you watch him at his best, it's like, this guy is, I think, he's a top point guard in this league. He hasn't made the All-Star team yet. And I think, again, largely because he's on the Kings.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not much different than Devin Booker.
Exactly. That's my point. And Devin Booker took a few years to sort of get into the All-Star teams. He got there, and he's really starting to stand out. So when are we going to see now, you know, De'Aaron Fox not just be like, okay, it's the Kings. Like, can he get them to a point where it's like, okay, they're in the 6th spot in there? Because right now they're still only battling for the play-in tournament.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nothing. You know, they need to sort of have some wins there. So, he's a good player.
Oh, all right, there it is.
Crazy, man.
He's nuts. This guy's nuts, man. Let's get to the up-down report.
Prepare your tumbis. It's the up-down report.
Yeah, the up-down report. Guys, first one. It's been a hot topic here in the NBA world, it feels like, over the last couple of days. The buyout market. It could play a significant role here, maybe, in determining the championship, which has caused complaints from small market teams. The system is flawed, said a small market GM to Howard Beck of Sports Illustrated, who had a great write-up on this. You shouldn't be adding to your team this deep in a season without giving things up. The Nets added Marcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin. After those guys agreed to buyouts, we had Andre Drummond signing with the Lakers there on Sunday. Another quote here from that article, you're just helping the rich get richer, from another anonymous small market GM. So the question is here, up or down on small markets' concerns, their executives' concerns about this buyout market? What do you think, Lee?
I'm down on it. Listen, LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin are two veterans towards the end of their career who just want to go to a team that's contending for a championship. And the rules allow them to do that. They gave back some money to their teams, and they now can go and sign with whoever they want. That's the rule. Andre Drummond, a younger player, he's also been on bad teams for most of his career. He goes to a team where he's going to be in the playoffs for sure and likely contending for a championship. The rules allow him to do that. So unless there's some, the executives have come up with a way that's a fair way for these teams to have to give up something, then I'm really not sure what they're complaining about, because the Lakers haven't been a glamorous team for the entirety of their last 10 seasons. You know, I mean, they haven't made the playoffs for a couple of years there. So Andre Drummond wouldn't have been signing there like 3 or 4 years ago when they were a bad team. They're going to teams where they want to win championships. And right. Same with the Brooklyn Nets. You know, before Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving came along, they were a team that made the playoffs, but no one's going to sign with the Brooklyn Nets, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. But now they've got those players there, so they're more attractive to free agents. So I'm not sure, unless you just change the rules completely and say, right, well, if you're top four seed, you're not allowed to sign, you know, guy. Right. You know what, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, unless you just make it so that you prevent those teams from being able to sign free agents, I'm not really sure how you change the system outside of just drastically making it difficult, or saying, okay, you have to, because the waiver wire exists so that if you pick up a guy, you have to pay a salary, but that's why they clear waivers, because nobody wants to pay these guys the remaining salary. Mm-hmm. So, okay, change that rule. I'm not sure. I think it's more just like these smaller market teams complaining because they see everyone joining the Nets. But again, it's LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, too. You know, very good players in their prime, but they're not in their primes anymore. Their insurance gaps, really, for the Nets at this point of the season, they're not there. They're not going to dominate. Well, Kevin Durant's on the team. That's all you should be worried about if you're facing the Brooklyn Nets. I mean, of course, James Harden and Kyrie Irving, but Kevin Durant on that team makes them a championship contender, whether or not LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin are there. So it sounds to me a little bit more just like, you know, the small teams are complaining, but unless you come up with a solution that's workable, I'm not sure how you change it.
What do you think, Trey?
I think it is a problem, but it's a problem because all the good teams are in big markets right now. Buyout guys used to sign with the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron James was a Cleveland Cavalier. Buyout guys used to sign with the Oklahoma City Thunder when they were challenging for championships as well. The problem is that all the super teams are in the big markets right now. Obviously, there's a couple in LA, there's one in New York. And, you know, the Knicks would like to have a super team as well. So I don't know exactly how you combat it, except for, you know, like, I look at a team like the Thunder. They're in the smallest market out there, and their highest paid player is just sitting on the bench for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, like, if they wanted to spend money on a buyout guy, they could have done it. They just chose not to because it wouldn't really help their team. The problem is that the buyout game has become more and more popular, it feels like, you know, mm-hmm. and the players who are taking buyouts are more and more notable. Like, we've had so many all-stars take buyouts this year that we remember as all-stars because it happened in the past decade. So, of course, we're going to refer to them as all-stars. Your LaMarcus Aldridges, your Blake Griffins. They're not at an all-star level right now, but we have long enough memories that we can remember when they were. I don't know, maybe you got to pay a bigger proportion of the salary that's on somebody's buyout deal to sign them, so you make it a little bit more painful for a big market team to go super deep into the luxury tax. But other than that, the key to getting buyout guys to sign in small markets is to have really good teams in small markets.
Yeah, that does feel to be the case. I don't think this would have been a big deal at all if Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge didn't sign with the Nets. If Aldridge goes to the Heat and signs there, this is not a story, in my opinion, at all. It's just because, the two guys that were former All-Stars, who are not that now, as we've talked about, picked the same team. Also, this is all our own fault, because all we've done over the last, 10, 15 years is talk rings. You gotta have a ring. Can't go in the hall if you don't have a ring. You're a nobody if you don't have a ring. Well, then these guys hear that, and they're like, damn, I better get a ring. I better team up with Kevin Durant and try and help my chances, or LeBron James, help my chances. So it's your fault, all of you out there, if you're upset with this. It's this rings or nothing culture. I'm sort of serious. I mean, this is what it's happening to some extent. And the small market teams, you had the opportunity to acquire these players through trades if you really wanted to, before a buyout. If you really, really wanted that LaMarcus Aldridge, you could have tried and traded for him. But yeah, I think this is a whole lot of nothing here. But I guess people in the comments were saying they were up on it, so there maybe is some case. Let's hear from you guys in the YouTube comments below after the show. Okay, next one. The NBA announced Monday that the draft will be held on July 29th, the draft lottery on June 22nd, and the draft combine on June 21st to the 27th. So with the draft scheduled for late July, it would seem that free agency could begin as soon as that weekend there. So like late July, maybe even, you know, early August. The question is, are you up or down on the NBA draft being held on July 29th? The secret is, I just wanted to slip this into the show somewhere. It's like, I really want someone to be upset it's happening on July 29th. Is anybody thumbs down? Like, really
big time down. Big time down.
Tell me why.
Summer's over already. That's exactly why. Season ends July 22nd. Draft July 29th. Public school in Atlanta starts August 5th.
Jesus.
See you, Summer. I'm big time down on this. Give us a break.
Yeah, I was hoping JD was going to chime in, too. I thought he'd be pissed about this. Lee, what's up?
Oh, I'm pissed. Oh, I'm very pissed. Yeah. But, you know, I'm just going to – I won't be here. That's it. I'm just drawing the line there. You guys,
when JD goes on vacation, we all go on vacation.
We can actually manage now to do the live stream.
Exactly.
The podcast part becomes a little more difficult, but we got time for you to teach us even how to do that, JD. Slap it together maybe while you're on vacation. Yeah. Look, the league didn't really have much of a choice in this, though, Lee, because of the push, everything being pushed back, of course, because of the pandemic. The playoffs are starting much later, and so this is why we get into late July, early August for the draft and then free agency, and we'll have to be talking about it.
Yeah, and they're trying to get the season back onto a normal schedule as quick as possible, so that's the other thing. It's like jam everything in the off season in as quick as you can, so then we can get back on track. That's the idea behind it.
Yeah, I will say Commissioner Silver has indicated that the league would still like to hold some version of summer league, which seems insane, but maybe not by then. Who knows? To allow these players.
Summer league without summer. How's that possible?
Yeah, fall league.
It's always summer in Vegas.
Early fall league. Yeah, it's true.
fall ball. I like that, actually.
Yeah, so maybe it could be a possibility. Go ahead.
I will say this is going to be the least watched draft ever. Book it. It's in the middle of the Olympics. The first week of the Olympics, we're going to be having the NBA draft. All right, Cade Cunningham, congratulations on your gold medal. You're getting drafted first. I'll be watching somebody swim.
Is that 100% a go, the Olympics? Is that they're locked
in on
that?
Yeah, just no fans, I believe.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's hear from you guys. Thumbs up or thumbs down on the draft being held on July 29th. Final one, this one, sillier than the last one. New posters released for Space Jam 2, or Space Jam, A New Legacy, I should call it. These came out Monday. Film is scheduled to be released on July 16th in theaters and on HBO Max, just before the draft. Toon Squad looking strong with posters featuring LeBron and Bugs and Lola and Tweety. And who else we got? Daffy Duck and the Roadrunner and Speedy and Tasmellus / the Tasmanian Devil. Are you guys up or down on the new Space Jam posters, Trey?
Oh, I'm super up on these. This is going to sound ridiculous. I love the Toon Squad uniforms. Oh, the teal, the gradient circle hole. All good. I'm loving the color scheme of this movie. Just a couple of things I don't love. Number one, you don't see LeBron's face in these posters.
Yeah,
I would like to see LeBron's face. I mean, his shoulders looking nice. Obviously, he's going to be wearing a shooting sleeve in this. I think that's important to convey. Second thing I don't like, no Marvin the Martian. Where's my guy at? I love Marvin the Martian. I guess he's just not a... Is he not a big enough name in the Looney Tunes universe? I don't know. He's definitely a role player, I would say.
Yeah. Lee, what do you think?
You said Roadrunner was in that, did you? And Speedy Gonzalez?
Yep. There's a lot of speed, man. Speed kills.
Yeah, who's quicker? Who's quicker, you think, out of those two? Because Gonzalez was quickest of all Mexico, I believe. But Roadrunner, I mean, pretty quick. Pretty quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see them have a race.
I think, well, this is one of these things where I think Speedy is quicker, but Roadrunner is faster.
End-to-end speed versus agility.
Yes. I mean, Speedy could play a game of tennis by himself, remember? He was that quick that he could hit it and then run around the other side and hit it.
Flash-like,
But Roadrunner was so quick he could, the road would lift up behind him when he was at his full speed. So
That's what I'm saying.
You know, that's a fascinating. I wonder. I mean, how far would you even do this race? Would you make it a sprint like a 200, or would you make it more like a 1500? You know.
Oh geez. I mean, I think the longer the race is, the more I like the chances of the Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Again, I agree. But like maybe 100, maybe a 200. Yeah. I hear you. I could see Speedy get.
I mean,
quick out of the blocks. Yeah.
Yeah, quickest of all in Mexico. We just don't know the field, though, do we?
No, I mean,
he might be running against nobody.
Yeah,
you know?
We don't know. And then there is Taz there. I saw in a press release he was just going by Taz, Is he not known as the Tasmanian Devil anymore?
Well, like, as far as I know, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's what I thought, too.
Same. Yeah.
All right. let's hear from you guys if you're up or down on these new Space Jam posters.
That's a July 16th,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
That's during the NBA Finals.
Wow. Is that during I mean, right before the Olympics, too.
I hope it's on an off day. Like, we got game two, LeBron playing. That's going to be wild. LeBron will be defending his NBA championship and Earth during the same month.
That's a lot of pressure.
Busy month for this
guy.
Yeah,
yeah. All right. We do still have Tweet of the Night, and we got Rapid Fire. But first, quick word to hear from our sponsors. It's time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter. That's right. It's Tweet of the Night, and I have the honors. And, you know, I hate doing Tweet of the Night because I have to go on Twitter, and I'm not a huge Twitter guy, and, you know, it's kind of a cesspool. But I open my feed, and lo and behold, Lily Goo's grandmother is back in my feed. Mm-hmm. So you remember her from earlier this month. Her 94-year-old grandmother spent the pandemic basically keeping track of her favorite NBA players on this notepad. And and Danny Green was number one, apparently. And then yesterday... Lily Goo's grandmother received a jersey, a signed jersey from Danny Green. It was really nice. And, but, you know, this is really, really low-hanging fruit, right? Like, I can't do it. So I dug a little deeper, and, of course, there was Russell Westbrook doing his post-game interview with no shirt on. Yep. I was like, oh, this is going to be ripe. Well, there's going to be so many memes about this. And I only found one that I really liked. It was from Haley O'Shaughnessy. A white crop top with a deep V and long sleeves. Pretty Little Thing and Nasty Gal have 24 hours to respond. I LOL'd at this, but, you know, but I only found one. And I usually like to have at least three, if not five of those. So That's out. Then I realized that Kyle Chandler was trending for some reason. Then there's like a panic. Did he die? Is he canceled? What's going on? And I think he was trending simply because this guy, Joey Molinaro, tweeted another famous guy we all know but absolutely refused to know his name. How dare you? How dare you? I mean, this guy, Kyle Chandler, he's in, you know, Bloodline, First Man, The Wolf of Wall Street, Zero Dark Thirty, but of course, probably best known for Coach Eric Taylor from Friday Night Lights. Yeah. The disrespect, I can't even.
Who the hell are you, Joey? That's what I'd like to
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Lee, do you have a favorite Kyle Chandler
performance? You're going to ask me, JD.
Hold on. If we had shown you his photo, would you have known his name, Lee?
No way. No way. I'm sitting through it listening to JD roast that guy, and I'm like, oh, don't ask me anything about him, JD.
Yeah.
You know, what did you say before Zero Dark Thirty there was a movie
He was in he's in the new the King Kong versus Godzilla. Ugh. So that's coming.
Which
out.
One is he? I thought he was great on Early Edition. That's the show that, despite the fact that he's become a famous guy whose name everyone knows, except for Lee, and this tweeter, that was his first breakout role, as far as I'm concerned, getting that newspaper with the day's events before they happen. Mm. He has to go out and change them. I wonder if he knew ahead of time that he was going to be a big star.
Maybe. Yeah,
it's possible.
Maybe.
All right. Well, for a guy that doesn't like Twitter, you got a lot of tweets there, JD.
And well, yeah. I go on once a week and I just, it's like, oh, there's this one. There's that one. Yeah, whatever. Stupid tweet of the night.
Jeez, it's not going anywhere, so get used to it.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Let's wrap this up here. Pick 'em results. Bucks, Clippers. Clippers favored by 1.5. I needed it. And hell yeah, the nerd dog and Reggie Jackson and my man Terrence coming through in flying color. Clippers get the dominant victory. They hit 19 threes, as we said. So huge, huge. I'm still alive here for the month of March. There are only two nights left when it comes to picking games. Trey had a loss last night. He's actually you're not out of it. Like,
no, I told you, Skeets. I'm not in the clear. Me and the Bulls, we're faltering here.
Oh,
we are
crazy, struggling.
Yeah. I'm actually going to call in the big gun to make my pick tonight. I'm going to need some advice from JD here.
Oh, okay.
Pick,
because I'm brutal. Because Trey's loss gets him to 10-8. Lee picked up the win with me because he had the Clippers. Lee, you're 10-8. Tass is 9-9, and I'm 8-10. So it is bunched up here like a wedgie. Let's find out tonight's game. It's the Hornets and the Wizards. There's only, I think, 4 games on. Without checking, there's not a lot of games on tonight. We had so many on last night. So we got a Hornets-Wizards game here to possibly decide the pick'em for the month of March. It doesn't get crazier than this. Hornets favored by 3.5 on the road, taking on Westbrook and that crazy stat line in a back-to-back situation for Washington. We're going to start by finding out who Tass took. Let's find out.
Not going to lie, I feel like Liella's picking this game. Oh, it's a tough one, but I'm going to go with the Hornets. Got no idea. All right, Skeety, come get me. Come get me, man. Come get me.
Wow, there's a lot going on in that clip. There's so much going on. He's got a nice fresh haircut. He's got the Rounders jacket on. He's got a fuzzy little mic or gerbil in front of him. And then he gave us a fire marshal bill at the end. Okay, so Tass takes the Hornets. Let's next go to Trey. Do you want to get JD's help with this one?
What are you thinking, JD? I'd like a quick consult here. As Lee says...
yeah, I'm getting the same...
Uh-oh.
The same... But Charlotte is jumping out at me for some reason.
All right. I like the buzz. Give me the Hornets.
All right, that's 2 people taking Charlotte. -3.5. Lee, where are you going? Oh, is it a tough one?
It's a tough one. It is a tough one.
tough one. Pick of the night.
I will choose the...
Oh, man, I don't know what to do.
Oh, my God. He doesn't know what to do.
Hornets. I think the Hornets of Charlotte are going to win this game by 3 points. No, I don't. I think the Hornets are going to win by 4 points.
Oh my God.
I'll take the Charlotte Hornets.
Wow, that was an exhilarating 30 seconds of podcasting there. All right. So the real question is now, do I swerve tonight and hope I tie it up, or do I wait one more night for maybe a better game? We got Wednesday night, a lot more games on. No, I said it. They're my Cinderella team. Westbrook on a tear. This guy never tires. Yeah, you're right. Point at that applesauce. Who's to say he can't do this again? Who? You don't think Westbrook can go out and put up another 30-20 again?
This NBA teams are undefeated the game after a player has 20 assists this season.
Oh, wow. Thank you, Schumann. What'd you say there, Lili?
Is he going to play, though, in the second night?
Yeah,
I mean, if Beal's not, I guess he does, but who knows?
Oh, okay, give me the Wizards. Wow, just got to keep it close.
Oh, boy.
Very, very close. I have not a lot of confidence in this, but let's do it tonight. Let's swerve tonight. Let's put on the glass slipper and I'll be Cinderella here. This would be perfect, right? The Wizards coming back to the play-in tournament, me coming back after being down huge in the book-off, or the pick-em, excuse me, brought to you by BetMGM. So, yeah, give me the Wizards. Oh, my God. Email us your NBA questions for the next Beach Deppin podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, and subscribe, guys. If you're in the stream team right now, hit the like button. It's right there. Go boom, like, done. Subscribe, right there, boom, done. And thank you if you have already. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic for only $1 a month. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks or theathletic.com/nodunkscanada if you are up in the Great White North. Fun show, just coming in under an hour today. Thank you so much for joining us. Back tomorrow with what you need to know, with The Daily Show, and then, of course, with that Beach Step-In podcast. Oh, and tonight, Top Shot Hot Boys. Make sure you subscribe so you know when we're going live on YouTube. Clipper Bros!
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Pretty Little Thing and Nasty Gal have 24 hours to respond. We're waiting.
Embrace the day, people.